don't need no education. Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Good morning, Twin Cities. You're listening to Education Nation, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hagstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pete Hegseth, and today we have a great show lined up for you with a special guest. I want to welcome Mr. Jeff Button to the show. Jeff is the K-12 Director for Liberty Classical Academy and one of our history teachers to boot. Thanks for joining us, Jeff.
Good morning, Rebecca. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Jeff, great to be here. We are on the weekend after President's Day, the President's Day holiday, which was today's February 20th. It was a couple of days ago. All right, I'm going to get a pop quiz for our history teacher. What two presidents do we recognize on President's Day weekend?
That would be President Lincoln and President Washington.
He
sir.
Was not prepped
Final
on
answer.
That question. Okay? This is a man that knows history. And that is today's
Indeed.
Topic. We're going to talk about the decline or the trajectory of U.S. history.
You know, it really is alarming, Pete. I have a quote here. Just 200 years ago, just a drop in the bucket in the time of history, 1816, Jefferson said this to a friend: if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. Mm. And I think sometimes we try to maintain a free society, but we're really living in a state of ignorance in the time of our own history and how do we work our free system.
Mm. Wow, that's a great quote. Who was that one?
That was Jefferson.
Wow.
Jefferson's the notable quotable for
yeah.
everybody.
That is a really, really good one. Well, we know that we have really seen a decline in the teaching of history in America's schools over the course of the last 50 or so years. And we have a lot of good reason for that. Maybe not good reasons, but we can point to a lot of reasons
sure.
for that. But I really believe that kind of one of the core things is that we as a culture, we used to refer to ourselves as America the Melting Pot, which these days, that term melting pot has come under fire.
We talked about that last week,
yes,
safe spaces and what you can and cannot
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I think that in an effort to really validate all of the experiences of our different people groups that come to this nation, the focus has shifted from history to more of cultural studies and social studies and that type of thing, to the unfortunate exclusion of history.
Absolutely. And Jeff, tell us, you are a history teacher. You're in the middle of it every semester, every year. You
yes,
go back
sir.
Through educating the next generation about what, you know, has happened in this country, in our world. Why does history matter? Because I think a lot of people will say it's just history. It's just what happened before. We're moving forward. We're all about progress. Why does history matter for a free society?
Well, history to me is like looking in a mirror, Pete. You have to see yourself accurately. If you just get up in the morning and think you're looking great and go out the door, not a lot of people are going to be impressed with the way you're looking. And we're really seeing a degradation of the quality of history. History is really, as Rebecca has said, really not taught anymore. Mm-hmm. She already mm-hmm. mentioned we have a social studies class, or perhaps you might have a world history class. 1 year you're supposed to learn the history of the world. Mm-hmm. That's impossible. Mm-hmm. That's impossible to do well.
And if we don't know our history, then how do we continue to make this nation great?
Yeah.
If we don't know what the mistakes of the past were, then how are we going to prevent ourselves from repeating those mistakes?
Well, that's right. I think you can be very easily seduced into ideas that are easily distilled into sound bites or
right.
sound very good in
right.
the way they're articulated by politicians on any side of the aisle.
Yes.
And we're certainly in the middle of that right now. A lot of
right.
hot political rhetoric that might mm-hmm. sound good. But our founders might have raised an eye and said, well, that wasn't really in keeping with what we intended for this nation.
Right.
And again, that's not meant to be a partisan statement,
no.
a Republican
no.
or Democratic
no.
statement. Jeff, as you see that, you know, what are the implications on our, I mean, not to get too political here, but what are the implications on, as you see students in the classroom and what they're engaging with and what kind of citizens they become? I mean, what fallout are you seeing when they don't actually learn history?
Well, first of all, Pete, they have to understand where we came from in order to understand where we're going. This system that we have, our Constitution, our Republic, didn't just rise up out of the earth out of nothing. Our founders, they were really, first and foremost, really good students of history. They knew what had worked in the past. They knew what hadn't. They distilled all the best ideas. They put their own unique spin on them to make them adaptable to our own people and to our own experience. But they didn't just throw a dart at the wall and say, this looks good, let's go with this. This was a methodical process.
Well, and as you know better than I do, these were our founders stepped out and charted a course in a constitutional republic that most in the world thought was not possible.
It was completely untested, brand new. Jefferson, back to Jefferson again, I'll use someone else, but Jefferson said our Declaration of Independence wasn't completely a brand new idea. But it wasn't completely original either. It was kind of a picking and choosing of the best of history. And again, first and foremost, our founders read history. They knew history. They understood it. They understood how to apply it, both good and bad, as Rebecca had already mentioned. Mm-hmm.
They took the best, the best of what they had learned from the past, which is what made it great. Mm. The American experiment has been a great experiment. You know, as we're discussing this, I am kind of thinking about some of the little, man on the street interviews that you sometimes see. You know,
Jaywalking
clips.
Oh, we miss Jay Leno.
And,
come on.
And then I think there's Waters World. And so we want to play a clip that really highlights. This is some students in Olympia, Washington that are being asked some very basic questions about history.
Students?
These would be high school age, so probably juniors and seniors.
All right, I think we've got that clip. Let's play it.
In what war did the U.S. gain its independence?
I don't know.
The British War, the Civil War.
I don't know. I just did this, so I don't remember.
I was never taught that knowledge.
Sadly, that's probably true.
And that was the best answer. He just said, I don't know. Our producer across the glass is just shaking her head in disbelief.
I was never taught that knowledge.
Really quite pathetic to not even know the most basic questions about our culture. And that clip went on and on and on, by the way, and looked at a lot of different students.
Well, and I didn't give you the kudos at the beginning of the segment, which I like to do in every show, is the reason you're so powerful as a spokeswoman for this is because you've started a school, Liberty Classical Academy, right here in the Twin Cities in White Bear Lake, where you're trying to teach these principles and make sure that we're graduating men and women of character, but also men and women grounded in history that understand where our nation came from, where principles come
understood
from.
what made it great, and how to go ahead and protect this republic that we have founded.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
How to maintain it.
And so, Jeff, but before we get into too many specifics, how do you attempt to teach it? We're going to talk a little bit more in the third segment specifics, but, because a lot of people will say, well, everybody's got their own version of history, right? Howard Zinn's got his people's history.
Yes.
Old white men wrote a certain history. I've got my history. You've got your history. How do we teach objective history without you've got a political background. I've got a political background. We've all got our own biases. How do you teach straight up history?
Well, the best thing I would say is we use primary sources first and foremost. Mm-hmm. In my government class, for example, I don't have a government textbook. We look at the writings of the founders. When I teach the Declaration of Independence, we read the Declaration of Independence. We read it line by line.
What a novel idea.
What do you think he meant here? Well, let's ask him. All right. We look at the Federalist Papers.
Sure.
The Federalist Papers are a commentary on the Constitution written by the guys that wrote the Constitution.
Yeah.
And so they're right there. They were a firsthand account of what happened. Mm-hmm. If I want to know what happened in your world this morning, Pete, I wouldn't ask Rebecca because she might not have been with you every minute. I would ask you or your lovely wife.
Oh, you wouldn't just necessarily read the newspaper accounts of it. You're looking at the original source. I mean, you're talking about kids, though, in middle school and high school. And we're going to talk, I think, in the next segment about standards and where standards have gone because I think it tells us a lot about our society.
Yes.
But I learned about the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists and the Constitution and the Convention in college.
Right.
After high school, after I got a sort of a glazed over sense of what it all meant. And I didn't really engage with those sources until college. And that's what's so powerful, I think, about Liberty Classical Academy. Mm-hmm. So what grade do you start teaching that stuff, Jeff?
Well, government class is 10th grade, but we'll talk about this in the next segment. We teach history starting in first grade. And we'll let that sit over the break.
We will let that sit over the break as I look at my kindergartner who's joining us this Saturday morning over here across the glass.
Yes.
He doesn't have an ed government class yet, but he will soon, learning at Liberty Classical Academy. Stick around. Segment's next. We don't need no thought control. Never any thought control on Education Nation on Saturday morning, but now that we've got a special guest, Rebecca and Jeff here, no thought control allowed.
Absolutely none.
This man knows his history, knows what he's talking about. Again, joined with Rebecca Hagstrom, our host of Education Nation, and we're here this morning with Jeff Button, who's the K-12 director for Liberty Classical Academy and one of the history teachers there as well. One of the things we want to talk about with you is kind of the history of history. It's not just about history, but it's being taught differently today than it was even just 20, 30, 40 years ago. What does that tell us about what our kids are learning today?
You know, it really is, Pete. We talk about, old grandpa only had an eighth grade education. He must have been a dummy. Well, in front of me, I have, you guys can't see it because it's radio, of course, but I have an eighth grade test on the Constitution. And you know it was from a while ago because the teacher's first name was Mildred. So 1954.
Just pick it up on the clues.
Might as well. In perfect cursive. This gentleman, this young eighth grader, has been asked a number of questions. One, list the cabinet positions and the people who hold these positions at the present time. Not very many people could do that today.
Let's test you,
Pete.
Right. Oh, man.
Go, Pete.
All right, Loretta Lynch.
I know that Arnie Duncan is the education secretary.
No, he's done now. He's done as a new one.
Ash Carter.
It used to be Clinton. Now it's John Kerry for secretary.
Come on, this show is about other people's lack of knowledge.
Yes, my mistake.
Yes. We're the experts, remember?
List the names of the justices of the Supreme Court. We might be able to do that, but the average person, especially the average eighth grader, certainly not. We have a fundamental misunderstanding of our own freedoms. How many people know what a writ of habeas corpus is? Not many. But is that important? Absolutely. Should you be allowed to be arrested on the street for no reason? No. That's what a writ of habeas corpus is. Those are things that are not taught anymore in schools across
the
nation.
Jeff, let me look at that test real quick.
Hand it over to
you. No, I got to tell you, listeners can't see it. It is an unbelievable example. There's 100 questions. It's all, no way it was open book. It was, you know, closed book test about the Constitution, all written cursive.
No multiple choice.
You had to list out every single amendment all the way up to the 22nd Amendment. What did it mean? And as you pointed out, the student only got 98.5% on it, which was good because he messed up, how treaties are actually ratified in the Senate.
Yeah, he wrote, how can the president make a treaty? He wrote, with consent of the Senate. Half true, with consent of two-thirds of the Senate. So Mrs. Mildred took off a half point for that.
Mrs. Mildred was strict. But no, really, I mean, if we put this in front of most eighth graders in America today, what would it be? 10%? 15%?
Maybe.
Kind of, sort of?
I have something that kind of leads into a more modern example. Newsweek, a publication I'm sure many of you are familiar with, just a handful of years ago, had a series of questions taken from the United States citizenship exam. There's 100 questions over 5 different categories. They gave 1,000 American adults 25 questions, and the results were staggering. Almost 40% could not pass the entire test. And even some of these specifics are really mind-boggling. For example, who was president during World War I? Only 20% of the 1,000 that took this test correctly said Woodrow Wilson.
Wow.
Even again, number 4, who did the United States fight in World War II?
Ouch.
Only 60% were able to say the Nazis?
What?
The Japanese? And there are people still alive that were in that war,
yes,
and we've already forgotten.
My dad is one of them.
As a culture. 61% could not say how many years a United States senator's term is. I don't know. Two or four.
As long
eight,
as they
six,
want.
Yeah.
Forever.
So it really is alarming what we don't know. Mm-hmm. It really is alarming because our system is, we have to assume, a self-governing people are capable of self-government. And without a true understanding of what that looks like, including the moral piece, which we may get into later, it's really, there's no guarantee of that.
Well, let's get into that for a second, because people think moral these days, they think only religion, they think only social issues, you know, that are contentious and flashpoint. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with this test, by the way. The 100th question on the test is, do wealth and power alone make a nation happy? And the answer, correct answer was no.
No.
Which, of course, history teaches us, if this is a history test, that wealth and experience of any mm-hmm. one of us know mm-hmm. that if we just had all the wealth and power of the world, it still wouldn't be alone enough to make one happy. That's a moral question.
Indeed.
More than than anything else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is a public school. This is a test being given.
Yes,
I presume.
Yeah, I believe it was from New York State, if I recall correctly. History is important to, I think it should be important to all of us, because history, first and foremost, is the story of people. And we are all people. Every single person we talk about in history had a family, had dreams, had aspirations, had goals, had disappointments, failures. And we can learn a lot, not only about our own constitution, about our own government system, but about ourselves as people by studying the great men and women that have come before us. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is such a powerful point. It really, really is, because we think about the abstract of a textbook, but these systems that we set up have consequences. Think of the market systems, and I think, Rebecca, you brought a clip today from CNN about the differences between even just, how free markets and capitalism and socialism and communism, the differences in what Americans know. They're just buzzwords or words in a history textbook, but people are affected by them. So
I was just going to say, I would say that they aren't really getting taught what the true meaning of these words are in schools. They might be in the textbooks, but I'm not quite sure if it's actually being covered.
Sure.
Because it seems that the knowledge base regarding what these what capitalism and all of these are is quite lacking. And we're going to listen to a clip about some or of some kids and adults mm-hmm. being asked about socialism at a Bernie Sanders rally.
Let's play it.
Can you define socialism?
Socialism?
Can you define socialism?
Can I define socialism? Probably not, if I'm being totally honest.
Socialism, oh boy. I don't think I can.
So, proof right there. Do you remember Joe the plumber?
Sure.
In that last election?
Oh, yeah. Who can forget Joe?
And he got Mr. Obama in a lot of trouble by calling him a socialist. And back then, it seemed that that was a bad word. Today, not that many years later, it seems that people really don't even know what it is. So then why would they be upset about anything if they don't even know what it is?
Well, we've got a candidate of one of the parties running as a socialist calling for revolution based on socialist
and
principles.
Literally a coin flip of a difference in the votes in the Iowa caucus just a handful of weeks ago.
It's amazing. And days and Hillary Clinton unable and unwilling to answer the question about the difference between socialism and capitalism,
right?
And whether she's a socialist or a capitalist. And really, it comes down to, you don't need a long Webster's definition of socialism. It's effectively degrees of redistribution of wealth.
I will take money from your pocket to give it to someone else's pocket that doesn't have as much money as yours does.
That's right. Which is not exactly what Adam Smith taught back in the day.
No.
But it is ultimately humans that it's such a powerful point. I think a great takeaway from today's show, that when you talk about the decline of U.S. history, you're talking about the decline of human flourishing and understanding mm-hmm. of what leads to real human flourishing.
Well, and a lack of understanding that these paths have been tried before.
Yes.
This is nothing. There's nothing new under the sun, right? And if we knew our history, if our culture knew our history, we wouldn't be so apt to go back down that path.
And Bernie is polling very well among the young.
Who don't know their history.
They don't know their history.
Yes.
They've been to Jeff Button's class.
Yes.
Where his only textbook is the American Constitution and the Federalist Papers, right? But I do think it's a really important point to talk about revisionist history, because this is something that we're seeing in all of our schools today. Either history is not being taught much at all, or when it is, it's being taught using textbooks that often aren't necessarily emphasizing the pieces that maybe the textbook writers want emphasized.
Yeah, it's being filtered to fit an already pre-molded agenda.
Yes.
Versus a real history, here is what happened. What do we think about it?
Mm-hmm. Reading the primary text. That's exactly. That's what we do at Liberty. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But we need to know what did the people say themselves rather than what a bunch of textbook writers think that these people meant by their words.
Hundreds of years later, perhaps.
Yes, right, without even an understanding of right. the culture at the time. So as Jeff pointed out earlier, if we want to get facts about a particular situation, we go to the source of those facts. We don't go to something that was written about that when we can go to the source.
Yes, yep.
Absolutely. So in the last segment here of today's show, we're going to talk about the curriculum at Liberty Classical Academy, how you guys approach history, how you really are educating citizens of the future, which is really the entire point. So stick around. We've got a little bit more Education Nation on this Saturday morning.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Well, good morning and welcome back. We are talking about the importance of history in our schools on Education Nation today. And I know at Liberty we teach U.S. history and we teach Western civilization. We focus on our founding documents because it's important for our students to have a complete sense of how this nation came to be. And I have Jeff Button in the radio station with us today, along with Pete, our co-host. And Jeff, we teach history sequentially at Liberty. Do you want to talk a little bit about what that means and why we do it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. As we talked about clear back at the beginning of this show, oftentimes, history is really just not taught. It's social studies, it's cultural awareness, it can be any number of specialized studies of looking at the world, or perhaps even a one-year world history course. That's not enough. The world's been around for a while, and people have done a lot of things in the history of the world. So 1 year is not enough. What we see in history a lot, it's a mile wide and an inch deep. I remember my own course of study as a student. We were just racing through history. It just breakneck speed. And it wasn't even an AP course. An AP is even more so. We got to get this done, At Liberty, we slow down a little bit. We take 4 years to teach the history of Western civilization. So all the way back in first grade, we start with our first year in that rotation. That's ancient history, and then medieval history, and then Renaissance history, and then modern history.
And that's first, second, third, and fourth
grade, right? Mm-hmm. A year for each of that.
Yep.
Those link up with the literature that we're teaching in the classroom, the art that we're experiencing in the art classroom, even the music that we study, that we learn, that we might play, really locks into that history rotation. History is one of the driving factors of a classical education, and we value that highly. So that cycle will repeat itself 5th through 8th grade, and then finally again 9th through 12th grade. And so our Liberty students get a lot of history because history is really important, as we've talked about. It's
Absolutely.
How we know ourselves.
Right. So let me play a bit of devil's advocate here today then. So how do I know if I'm, and I am a parent of two Liberty students, proudly, how do I know, though, that they're not just getting one view, that they're not just getting one sort of narrow cocoon lens of sort of Christian conservative viewpoint? How do I know they're getting all sides of an issue? And does Liberty present all sides of an issue?
Yeah, Pete, that's a good question. I mean, for example, just the other day I was teaching the Declaration of Independence. Yes, 56 men signed it, but really only a third of Americans, what we would now call Americans at that time, supported that. Another third wanted to remain loyal to Britain. Another third really didn't care. And so what might have been the benefits of not breaking away from Britain, for example? Otherwise, we talk about perhaps the Reformation in the Renaissance history class. We also talk about the Counter-Reformation, arguments good and bad. Moving into the science class, where we might read a historical document like Charles Darwin on the Origin of the Species, they really read that document, arguments good and bad. And we really do try to present all sides to that. But furthermore, as a Western culture-driven school, we really try to say, here are the ideas of history that have proven themselves to be accurate, to be good, to be worth studying.
That's true. I mean, no, I think you miss that in a lot of places, where if you're not willing to draw any sort of a distinction, then it's just always a tie at the end, right? Well, all ideas are the same.
Yeah, I know you guys talked about this last week with safe spaces, and some ideas are better than others. But that's true. Some ideas are better than others. Some ideas work better than others. I'm a car guy. We talk a lot about the big three, Ford, GM, Chrysler. We don't really talk about the literally hundreds of car companies that have failed in the past.
I mean, it goes back to our founding documents. As you said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. There's some things we've seen.
Not
that
everything
we believe
is
in.
True.
Not everything is true. Right. And I think to talk about last week and the safe spaces discussion that we had, what we're seeing in our public schools today is because we're not even teaching the Western civilization side of it, they're getting one version. And then when they get to the university or they get into life, they're being confronted with a whole different set of viewpoints that they haven't heard of before.
Mm-hmm. And then they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, except sometimes they go color.
They go color or play with Play-Doh or bubbles.
They feel bad about their success.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know, the Western civilization piece is a very important piece of our culture that created this great nation. And I think that we live in an era now where we're trying so hard to be accepting of other cultures and other viewpoints that we're really losing our identity as a nation. We're losing the values.
Yes, right.
We're losing the sources of what made this nation great in the first place. And at Liberty, we want to make sure that our students really do understand what made this nation great. And therefore, the history piece is essential. It's absolutely foundational to everything that we do at that school.
Yeah, and we still teach America is an exceptional nation. Mm-hmm. It's been the only nation in the history of the world back in the 40s to possess nuclear weapons and not use them to conquer other people. That is special. That's not something you're going
to
see
every day.
Or to
take land and then give it back.
Right.
As for purposes of liberation.
Yeah.
As opposed to subjugation.
Yes.
Which if you look at the course of human history, it is what makes America truly exceptional. People hear that rhetoric and they go, oh, exceptionalism, you're just so arrogant and proud and, you know, you've got big cars and guzzle gas. No, exceptionalism has nothing to do with that.
Right.
It has to do with looking at history, course of it, and realizing this is a special experiment.
Yes. Well, and it has worked. And that's the thing. It's not an opinion. It's based in fact, and I think that's also
Yeah, do you want to measure
forgotten.
By GDP or by, you know, military or whatever?
Right.
You look at any number of measures, this is a special place.
Right, and I think that's something that often gets forgotten when people consider that idea of American exceptionalism as being arrogant. I really think that that's an emotional reaction when really, if you look at the facts, there's reason why America did become great,
mm-hmm.
and the values and even the free market system
mm-hmm.
that has made a middle class that is so strong.
Yeah.
And while recently we're running into problems with our middle class shrinking, up until recently, that free market capitalistic society is what made this nation a strong nation economic standpoint.
Totally. A lot of it's because we've wavered away from it. Jeff, I can say this being our fourth episode, you have been an exceptional guest.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. And I think you've got something in closing for us here?
Well, you know, we were talking about what's made us exceptional. I do think that there is a large component of that is the morality section.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a whole nother show, and maybe it needs to be.
I think it will be.
A couple weeks.
You've just given us one.
All right.
There you go. Another idea.
Thanks
Did you
for
have a quote
me.
That you wanted to read?
Next time.
Okay.
Tune in next
we'll
time.
Have you back.
Okay, next time. Well, we are very happy to have been with you today, and we hope you've enjoyed this this topic today of Western civilization. And we look forward to next week when we are going to be discussing a very pertinent topic that's going to be hitting our schools in the spring, and that's standardized testing.
Standardized testing, every child's favorite.
Fill
test.
In the bubbles,
topic.
Number two pencil only, please.
Yes.
Turns out it really matters, doesn't it?
It does actually matter, yes. So have a great week, and we will see you next Saturday right here on Education Nation.
All right.